It was horrible. Seeing the pain in her eyes was the most gut-wrenching thing I've ever seen. And not knowing how to help her was horrible. We talked to her and told her, one thing we don't want you to do is shut us out. That's what she did, was shut us out. But I was just like, I'm gonna be there no matter what. And when she needs me, she'll come to me. And that's what I did. But no one should have to go through that, especially at that age.
Welcome to another episode of Love Everyone Equally with your host, the underground artist, The Truth, and his lovely wife, Delta, where they discuss various topics on relationship, social, and cultural issues. So join them every week for new episodes. Don't forget to like, share, and follow. And remember to spread a little love to someone today.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Love Everyone Equally. I'm your host, Delta.
I'm your host, Eugene.
And today we're joined with special guest, Kelly, and our other co-host, Allie.
Hello.
So how are you ladies doing today?
All right.
Good.
On this episode, we're going to be talking about grief and how parents handle it from a different perspective. Since Kelly is new to this, I'm going to ask her a question because I want to get her perspective on how she coped with helping Allie through the loss of her significant other, which is our son, Eli.
It was horrible. Seeing the pain in her eyes was the most gut-wrenching thing I've ever seen. And not knowing how to help her was horrible. We talked to her and told her, one thing we don't want you to do is shut us out. That's what she did, was shut us out. But I was just like, I'm going to be there no matter what. And when she needs me, she'll come to me. And that's what I did. But no one should have to go through that, especially at that age.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I got questions to ask, Kelly. I know Elijah stayed over your house. You first heard about it. How was your reaction? Did it immediately go to my daughter, or was you just blank, didn't know what to think?
I didn't. My husband called me while I was at work, and he said, is Allie at class yet? And I said, no, she's still sleeping. He said, you need to get home. Eli passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, who? And he said, Eli. Allie's Eli. And I'm like, shut up. And then it hit me. And I was like, oh my God, I got to go. And then so I drove home. And at the time, she had called me and she was like, they're saying something wrong with Eli, but I don't know what it is. And I'm like, as soon as I get home, we'll go over there, we'll find out. And then by the time I got home, she had said that he had passed. And then I was just like, okay, now what? Like, I was just like, okay, I'm horrified for you guys.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I'm horrified for her. And then he was, what, a year and a half around the house, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I felt like I lost part of my child as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's why that day I had texted you and I had said, I am so sorry. Cause like,
I don't even remember you texted
me. I don't remember you telling me.
Cause I was like, I have to reach out and say something to them.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah, it was. When everything was progressing and she kind of withheld herself from you, did you understand it or was you frustrated? Because when I was going through it with Isaiah kind of was the strong person out of all of us. He tried to keep it together for me and her because he see how we was breaking. And I felt bad because it's like, you know, he's helping me through this and he's going through it himself. And it made me feel like useless when it came to the situation because I couldn't really help him because I was going through it mentally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you saw her pushing away, was you lost in it?
I didn't understand why she was pushing away because I've always been with the type of family that you
tight knit.
Tight, exactly.
And Elijah always said that he loved you because he was like the house dynamic over there was I was you.
Yes.
And Delta was Mike.
Yes. The first day I seen her cry, but after that, she really never broke down.
Yeah.
And that worried me more than anything.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I, of course, always go to worst case scenario.
Yes.
Like, is she going to do something to hurt herself?
Yeah.
And so my husband and I made sure we said we're not leaving her alone.
Mm-hmm.
So as she says, I'm the helicopter mom.
That's what Eli said. You was me.
Yes. I was the helicopter mom. Still am.
Yeah.
Helicopter has yet to land. Full transparency, when I was, freshman year of high school, I had went through, depression, and I've dealt with that for a while, and I had told one of my friends about it, and he reported me to a guidance counselor about self-harm, and I remember she had called my mom, one of the worst things ever, still have a grudge against her, and so my parents knew about that, and I feel one of the reasons I did push away and not cry is because I didn't want them to think that I was gonna go back to that or anything.
Yeah.
And wow. I didn't want that, and I know that's kind of what they thought was gonna happen too, but I just didn't know what else to do.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful quality in you, and I tell you that it's like even through your pain you was still looking, you know, not to put it on your parents in a sense. That's beautiful. The same thing with Isaiah. So was Mike at home when all this happened?
No, he was at work.
Okay.
His friend that's a teacher, I guess the email went out that it happened, mm-hmm. and he called Mike, and he's like, you need to get home to your daughter now.
Oh, okay.
And so that's when Mike called me.
Oh, okay.
And then you said that he had said, something happened with Eli, or Eli passed something. My dad's like, Eli who?
Yeah.
He just was not registered in his brain. He's like, yeah. Who is that?
Right.
I was at work. It was the worst situation in my life. And it's more sad for me because I couldn't be there for her and Isaiah.
Right.
For them to witness it and go through it. I still feel bad. I don't think that's nothing I can ever recover from. Kelly, have you dealt with anything in a similar of losing someone that you...
Grandparents.
Yes,
but that's what I mean. No one his age.
Yeah.
And there's just things that trigger me. He always liked that mango.
Smooth.
Yeah, that mucho mango.
Yes.
And I did everything I can to get this kid to eat and drink.
Uh-huh.
So I went and bought this juice for him.
Big old bottle of it.
You say what?
Big bottle of it.
That is hilarious.
And it's still in my fridge because I will not throw it away. Mm. I just can't.
It's beautiful.
It's tucked in the back. There's still a little juice. Sure it.
If anyone is over at my house, do not touch it. You'll probably get right. some disease. Okay?
Yes.
Right. And there's just things that I've been working at a customer service at Strax for mm-hmm. 30 years. And right after he passed, I see the name Elijah all the time.
I know. Mm.
And that never really triggered before, but now it's oh my God, wow. All the time. It's I think it's him saying, hey, I'm still here,
mm-hmm. Yes.
But still, it's still.
Yeah.
It's weird because I see a lot of boys with their wild hair, mm-hmm. that big old puffy mm-hmm. hair. And I'm just like, do it. Don't run up to them. Touch me Elijah. And they're looking at, they're probably turning around lady, get away from me. Who are you? This crazy lady.
We found out that we went to therapy individually. We didn't go through family therapy. I told Delta I want to do that really bad. We went through individual therapy and everything, and we found out doing this pod is like the best therapy for us, talking about it, get our feelings out there, and pretty much communicate with those, like I said in the last pod, that's going through trauma and grieving through a lost one of a loved one. Every time I talk to Allie, she always give a great story of people going through it and how tactics they are to survive through it. It's just beautiful because, you know, I told Delta, I don't know if she told you about this. She came over probably, what was that, a month and a half ago, 2 months? And you had us bawling, talking about your experiences and just going into details about her process and her pain. And it hit me to the core. Like, she talked about it so deeply to us, and we wasn't doing no pod, we was just sitting there talking, and it healed my heart because it was like she was there. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always wanted, when I asked God for someone to care for me and love me and be a friend to me, he brought me Delta, and I know that she was that for Elijah. And you moving forward in your future, you know, just know your worth. Know your worth, because you're a beautiful person, and you're special. You're very special.
So what are three books that you would recommend?
Why do I got to go first?
Because
she's going in.
We were talking about, the books, and it's so like reversed. Hers are more like the teenage books, and mine are like these deep philosophical like parent books.
Yes,
I'm like,
funny.
Okay.
So I like John Green.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So like the 5 Feet Apart, and then The Fault in Our Stars, mm-hmm. like those. And then I love James Patterson, the Alex Cross series.
We formed a motherly connection.
Oh my God, really?
Oh, yes.
Oh my goodness.
Anything like mystery,
yes,
true crime, any of that stuff, love it.
This is her.
Oh
yes.
My goodness.
This is her.
Yeah. We've opened a door that will never be closed.
What is it, the first women's club or something?
Women's Murder Club?
Yes. Oh.
I have all those books, by the way.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Thanks to grandma.
I know.
What?
My mom started it, and then I have all the Alex Cross series and the Women's Murder series. I haven't even read the Women's Murder series.
What?
No, just James Pat, the Alex Cross series.
Oh my God.
This is her to the
team. Okay.
Yeah.
We got to start a book club or something.
Let's go.
I don't have books. I have to go to the library.
We got lots
I have
of
read
books.
Every last one of those books.
We have a bookshelf, and there is nothing but James Patterson.
It is.
Oh my God. He's like, he is my favorite.
Love him.
Arthur.
When we first, I don't read when anybody. We first moved out here to Holbert, she was the only one. She heard of, got a library
card.
I was just like, come on, stop it.
I made the boys do
it. Yeah, she made them do it. And then Isaiah got real deep into books. She the reason why he reads so much. He used to read a lot of books. Now he's more into the comics. He kind of switched over into the comics.
He's into that Greek mythology or something. Stuff. Yeah, he's really, that's his thing.
Yeah. Her thing is mystery. Like when the kids was growing up and stuff like that, we used to try to get her to play like video games. You know, me and Eli was video game head. So we, what we buy you?
Oh, that Kinect? The Kinect?
Yeah.
And
what's the mystery video game?
Oh, L.A. Noir.
Yeah, L.A. Noir. Yeah. And we bought her Criminal
and y'all
tie.
Took it over, CSI. They took over playing the game. And I'm just like, I thought it was my game. And it was like, mm-mm.
Yeah, so she loved that mystery, thinking it out.
Mystery.
Yeah,
yes,
she's all deep into that.
Yes, I am Alfred Hitchcock. I can watch him all day. I can watch all his films, all of them. Now I'm into looking at Perry Mason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm I'm a little, yeah. I love mysteries.
She love, do you like, what's the thing don't show you watch? Golden Girls.
Watched it.
Yeah, okay. What was your favorite show when you was younger, Kelly? I put you on the spot.
Yeah. I did watch Golden Girls a lot growing up.
Golden Girls, I love Lucy, Matlock, all my children. Well, I have to live.
There you go, General Hospital. Yep. Yes. All right. Okay. Got all that.
Yeah, Young and the Restless. I think
probably like, you know, those sitcoms like Different Strokes and Family Ties and all those. I used to like those all the time. What about you, Eugene? What did you watch?
I was Different Strokes, Webster.
Three's Company.
Oh, yeah. What's Happening? Good Times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Did Allie? She's like, oh, don't put me on this. Oh, spot.
These old people.
Yeah. Hey, I knew majority of them, okay? Mm-hmm. I loved Full House. That was one of my. I like rewatched it, put on for my sleepy time show recently. I don't like the basic like Disney Channel shows I like. It's like, those, but I honestly I liked like Full House. I think was my favorite. Okay. I like that one. I recently just last night Seventh Heaven. I remember we'd watch it all the time with them, and so I just put that on, so I feel like that's gonna put me in a loop of that soon, that I'm gonna be addicted again. All the soap operas I would walk into that I had no clue what was going on. General Hospital, that was the main one that was always on. That now I'm looking back, I'm like, oh my God, this is like really deep. Like,
it is.
The drama.
And you get caught up.
I know.
But now I turn it on and I'm like, who's that?
I know. Like, who is these people? They're not like Erica Kane and Adam and Tad.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, too bad they all passing, you know.
Right.
Because I heard, I don't know how true this was, but I heard that they was trying to bring back All My Children. They was trying to bring them back.
Oh, really?
But then everybody, all the actors that were back in the 80s and the 70s, well, they're dying.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's not going to happen.
A lot of them that are just on General Hospital now.
Yes.
As different characters. Thing. It's like, no.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we got off the subject. Okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm going to jump it back.
Sorry.
Your three books.
Okay. So I have two good ones.
Okay.
So the one about the videos that I had mentioned before, The In Between by Hadley Vallos. So I found her on TikTok. I know I touched a little bit on it before, and she's a hospice nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And so this book, she shares like a few of her key stories from these people. So this one quote from this is what her patient had told her while she was on her deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Can I get something off my chest? I think I wasted a lot of my life on the treadmill. I keep thinking about all the times when I was invited to go to the beach with my friends and didn't go because the way my stomach looked. All the dinners I skipped because I made all my meals so I could obsessively count calories. I even skipped out on having friends over for my birthday because I didn't want to have to eat the cake.
Mm.
I feel like I had to tell you this because I see myself in you. I never anticipated dying at 40. I always thought I would have more time. I wish I would have spent more time with my family and my loved ones. I wish I would have just eaten the damn cake."
Mm. That's deep.
Damn.
That is very
deep. So that book, it's just a bunch of deep things that they have told her. And she at first wasn't very spiritual or anything. Didn't know if anything happened after death. And then going and doing all this hospice care, she has all these stories and she like believes all this stuff now and all these crazy experiences. And I still haven't finished it yet because I can do like half of a chapter, do a chapter at a time, because I'm bawling my eyes out over here. I have these emotional attachments to people I've never met before.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love that one. And then Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. We had to read this in school. And I feel like most of the books in school, I hated in the moment because I was forced to. But now I'm like, okay, wait, this is really good. And so it's Mitch. He had a professor, Maury, in college. And he loved him. He was great. And he ended up, he was watching the news and he seen that Maury had ALS and he was like passing soon. So he called him and he was like, come meet with me Tuesday. Like, we'll have one last lesson. Mm-hmm. And they ended up, for the 14 weeks he had left, he came every Tuesday and they had another life lesson. And so it was all these things that he would teach in class, but it had so much more personal meaning now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just great now that I look back on it and I wasn't forced to read five chapters a night.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. Those were my two.
I think that's how it always is. When you're in high school, you feel like, why am I reading this? Because you can't relate to that stuff. You know, you haven't experienced life.
Yeah.
So when you get a little bit older, I don't want to say get old, but when you get mature and you've gone through stuff, whatever, you can relate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You enjoy it more.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember this one book from high school. I Know Why the Caged Bird Sing by Maya Angelou. It was like a documented autobiography of her life. I mean, it's like she renamed the characters, but pretty much she had a really rough childhood. She was molested. She had a kid very young. Her mother pretty much abandoned her. Her father was abusive. It was a lot that this young lady went through. She was pretty much prostituting and everything. It was certain aspects of her life she put in the book, but some of it was exaggerated, I guess. So that always sticks with me when I think about a book that I read in high school, which was so sad. I was like, I don't ever want to read nothing like this again.
What was your first impression of Eli?
His hair.
His hair.
I love his hair.
That's, I hated it.
Really?
Yes. Okay. You didn't tell her that one either? Oh, Jesus. Oh, he was so mad at me that day. Oh, he was so mad at me that day because I hated the wild hair on top. I went, I told the barber, I said, keep it straight. Keep it clean. And he gave him an army haircut and he was so mad at me. He didn't talk to me for like 3 days. Everybody he was so upset. Everybody was making fun of him at school like, hey. He was so mad with me. Jacob showed me the text probably, you know, 3 weeks after everything happened. And I'm reading the text and I'm just laughing because I knew he was upset with me. And that day, he did not want to go to that barber no more. Never again, he wanted to go to that barber. With things going forward with Allie, do you worry more now than if this event didn't happen? Do you worry?
I worry, yes, because I know that if this didn't happen, that she would be with Eli forever.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
They just instantly clicked.
Clicked, yes.
Because there is no boy that comes over to borrow a... What is that basketball?
Oh my gosh. I had a little pink like mermaid basketball that I won somewhere, like at a bowling alley.
He wanted to come over to borrow it to play basketball. Okay, no.
The slick, I don't know if I ever told you this one. We would go on like walks to just talk and like vent stuff out.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I knew I liked him at this point. I so knew, but I was still like, kind of talking to this guy, not really, but yeah. I was like, I just don't know, like, if I do like him anymore. I don't. I know this.
Yeah,
I want him to do something. He's like, we're sitting in my car, and he's like, so you're telling me if I put my hand on your thigh right now, you won't feel something? Like, this little sly devil. And of course, I'm like, well, I don't know. What? Never did it, but he was like messing with me the whole time.
Yes.
Little sly thing.
So I kept on, Allie, are you guys dating? You talk, no, mom, we're just friends. Uh-huh. Okay, whatever. Like, why? Yes. Just admit it. Let's go.
Yes. Yeah, he tried to keep that under wraps. He wanted
what,
me.
What did he say? Y'all don't put labels on things? Y'all hate putting labels on things?
Yeah, because
that's what he said. I don't know.
Yes, y'all did that for like three months. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, when it comes to Isaiah, it's two people since this happened that he opens up to. India, which is our god daughter's mother, and Allie. He called me the other day, and I meant to call Allie, but I said, you know, I'm going to let it happen naturally. I'm a butt in like you. I want to control it, but I just don't want to go there. But he was talking about confidence. I was telling him that, You know, I'm pretty sure his brother struggled with that. And that's a story that you just brought to me. He was throwing it out there, but he was struggling with the fact of, should I do this? Like, should I put my hand on her thigh? Because I don't know what she really feels, you know? And, you know, and I was just telling them, everybody has self-doubt when it comes to putting themselves out there, you know, with situations. I told them, rejection is part of life. Some people going to love you. Some people going to not like you. Those who gravitate to you, that's who God wants you to gravitate with. Those who don't, you're supposed to move forward and live life.
Live and learn.
Yeah, live and learn. He's protective. I told her I appreciate her being there for him. You know, that day when they was, you know, had their moment, you know, I felt, saw him finally have a relief in his face that it was needed. You know, when you're in a situation, you get that good cry out.
Absolutely.
You know, after you get that good cry out, it's like a brick has been lifted off of your spirits. And you did that for him, you know, not saying he cried. That's on the record. I'm not saying that, but... and you know, it helped him. And I was just telling Allie, like, you know, her personality, her circle always gravitate to her, you know. And I think, like, she had situations that happened and don't understand why people react the way they do with her, and it's because of her.
Yes, it's her personality. Yes,
her aura.
Everyone loves to just gravitate towards
yes.
her.
Yes,
yes. Because she had told me a little bit about her conversation with her and Isaiah.
Yes.
And I said, Allie, I understand everyone's grieving.
Yes.
I said, Jacob and Lily are grieving and everything. But there's a difference in the way you and Isaiah are. Isaiah lost his brother.
Yes.
You lost your significant other. It's just different with you two. And if you guys can get through it together, then do it.
Yeah. And that's what she is for him. And I know that after that talk, when she came over here and did what she did to us.
When she got her hands on him.
We felt alone. We felt like everyone outside this house could never understood what inside the house was feeling until she sat down and said, no, listen. This is my feelings.
Right.
And when she did that, it released something in me that I'm still hurt. I still have pain. But I was like, damn, she loved my son.
She did.
And that, you know, put a peace over me that I'll be forever grateful to you for, you know. And you did the same thing for Isaiah. And I could tell Isaiah don't, you know, want to burden you. And when he was telling me about that situation, I said, you know who you should call? And he said, who? I said, Allie. I said, Allie could try to tell you some stories, dude, of your own brother that you don't even realize. He called me that morning. First thing, what's up, Isaiah? He's like, nothing much. Y'all up yet? I'm like, yeah, we up and stuff. And his mom came to say something to him. She was in the kitchen making lunch for us. So she went back to the kitchen to finish making lunch. And he looked at me on the FaceTime. I talked to Allie last night. I said, what'd she tell you? And he was like, she told me, be you. And I said, yeah. I said, 100%. And I said, your brother wasn't flawless, and he looked like it, and me and him looked like we flawless, and we don't care what people think about us and all this.
Was cocky. How you get in there?
Because that's the quality Isaiah sees. He sees my dad's 500 pounds, and he walks around like he's not, you know, and he doesn't let people around him affect him, you know, and... In his moment, he's so close to being affected by what happens outside of him that it's scary for him. And I just told him, I said, don't be afraid to reach out to her because she in the same space as you are. He just need to be more open and honest with his feelings as much as he can be. Right now, he's in a school of a lot of different people. And he is going through it, but he's pushing through. And, you know, like your mom say, the reason why y'all had that moment is because he went through the same thing I went through on this couch with you. You know what I'm saying? And it's a blessing when you have someone that understands what you're going through. And I'm telling you, when you start talking, it's a wrap.
I'm a philosophical girl at heart.
It's a wrap. So
very old soul.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's
what it is. Old soul and not trapped in a young person body. I have a 90-year-old body. I got the appearance. That's about all I got of a young person. I'm already getting wrinkled.
No, you're not.
I see a gray hair. Hey, yes. I'll start with you.
Another subject. Kelly, how do you feel with your daughter going into her next stage of life with her boyfriend, fiance?
I still don't think she's my baby still. Yes. So like the thought of her getting married is still weird to me.
Really?
Yeah. We're going dress shopping on Saturday. Uh-huh. So it's like, until I see her in that dress, I'll be like, okay, no.
Be standing there with 12 boxes of tissues just for my
mom. Yes. Yeah. Have you got emotional about thinking about it, or it's just like unbelievable?
It's unbelievable. I got emotional the day they got engaged.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then I had, that was Christmas. So then I was like excited for her. But then again, I was also sad for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, how am I supposed to feel?
Yeah.
As everything gets planned, I'm starting to get excited. I haven't really gotten emotional yet. I don't think I will, maybe until that day.
Okay.
Now, if you talk to Mike, different story.
Blubbering.
He cries every time.
Shut up.
Really?
I hope he does not listen to this.
Got him.
Send
Mike, got him.
To him.
He's very emotional.
Really?
I say that we've changed places. Like when we first got married, I was the emotional one. He was mm-hmm. the strong one. Total 360.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Well, that's his baby.
That is his baby.
Yes. Yeah.
Allie, you his baby too.
I'm a baby. Baby. Baby.
Yeah, you're the baby. Baby. Baby.
Yeah.
First baby.
Yeah. He's like, both my little girls forever.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. He cried at her graduation. He'll cry at the wedding. He cries at everything.
My favorite thing is his favorite word is sweet. It could be anything. Sweet. Oh. And it just, the sweet.
For his 50th birthday party, we bought him his dream truck. It was a 1949 F1. I think that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
And we hid it at my brother-in-law's house. I was nervous. I couldn't like eat for a week.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was either going to be so excited about this or he was going to get mad because I was hiding money from him.
Yes.
And he sees it and he goes, sweet.
It was the most pathetic thing ever.
Yeah. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
Was it a fixer-upper or was it
It's
already?
A fixer-upper.
Okay.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet. Yeah. Sweet.
Yes. Got another question for the whole, for you and your mom. If it was one question you would want us to ask you on this pod, which question would it be and why?
In that moment, how are you doing? Because I can't look at you. I'm going to freaking cry. So the wall is mm-hmm. going to be in my mom's face.
Good question.
Because I felt, and I know that blocking her face.
Okay.
I know I shielded myself from my family so much. And I still feel so beyond horrible about it.
Yeah.
Because I never wanted to. It's just what I did. And I remember when, like, you guys would or anyone asked, like, how's your parents doing? I'm like,
yeah.
They're okay. They're holding on. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like, I just don't ask because I know that in my head, I'm like, I asked them, one, they're just going to break down like we all did.
Yeah.
And I cannot deal with my parents crying, especially my dad. I would rather just, I'm going away. I'm going to the other room, moving to Kansas. I'd rather do that than see my dad cry.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see her cry. I didn't want them to ask me how I was doing. Because mm-hmm. people are always like, how are you doing? But it's never like, how are you doing? The yes. genuine of it. And I didn't want anyone to ask me that genuine, because I'm like, I don't want to answer that. Yes, you don't want to know. Yeah. I don't want to know. So I would have asked, how are you actually doing right now?
So right now, I'm doing better. I'm not going to say I don't have my days. But you being back in school and back at work has helped me, because when you took that time off, which I definitely know you needed that time off,
yeah.
I thought, okay, this is it. She's giving up on life. Yeah. She's not going back to school. She's not going to go back to work. She's just going to do nothing and sit there and then never get over this.
Yeah.
Because at the time, right when all this happened, she was over at Lillian's, Jacob's house. I just wanted her to be home, but I understood. And then my thought was, oh my God, they were constantly over there. She doesn't want to be in her room ever again.
Yeah.
She senses him too much.
Yes.
And so when she finally came home, there was just a stare out the window, and seeing no expression on her face is when it hit me. And I'm like, I don't know if she will ever get through this, and I will not be okay if she can't. So seeing her do so much better now makes me better, because I know she's healing. Now, my question to you is, when the time comes, do you ever feel like you'll be able to move on?
You're really hard hitting over there, Kelly.
I know. Gosh. Especially in front of the parents.
So, because I've thought about this so much, because one of the things when everything first happened, I had a few people tell me, like, it's okay, you'll find someone else, and the urge to just slap them in the face. Because I know I will probably date someone else eventually. I'm not near that yet. I've only now, like, just recently started to, like, see someone and be like, oh my God, he's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, ew, no. But I don't know. I can maybe see myself getting married. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I cannot see myself having kids. I strongly do not think I will, unless someone comes and really changes that. Because I don't think I think if I do have a child, I will look at that baby and think, this should have been Eli's. Mm. And I really think that will happen. And that's not fair to my child. Yes. To look at it and think, this isn't who you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be my child.
That's good that you said that out loud, though. That's a huge step. I know that for a fact he wouldn't want you to feel that way.
I just want to say thank you, Allie. Thank you, Kelly, for stopping by and talking with us and sharing memories of Eli.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And talking about Isaiah, too. I don't want to leave him out there as well. Okay, well, that is going to do it for us. Please like, share, and support. And don't forget to follow us on all social media at our IG page, LME446.
Yes.
And we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.